All right. That's what today's about. I can see you, so you have to stay awake from that meal this morning. Don't make me call you out. It's Easter Sunday, and there's probably room for an Easter bunny, and especially those chocolate Reese cup eggs. There's always room for those. But it's Resurrection Sunday. It's what today is. It's what today's about. Resurrection. New life. It's a bit different from Christmas. You know, everybody's joyous about the baby that was born and on a day and sent to us to be the Savior and the announcement that he was here and to fulfill God's love for us. But then we have Resurrection Week, where the baby's all grown up. Now suffers the punishment for sin and for all of us. The birth made a Savior available to all people. And the death and resurrection to life is for all of those who have faith to believe in Jesus Christ. To have that life. We'll get to today, but I want to go back a little bit first. I want to go back to John 19, verses 28 to 30. This is Jesus on the cross at the end. But I want to start there this morning. John 19, 28 to 30. He had already suffered and was nailed to the cross and things that had happened. And we're to this last stage where he says, "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." You know, again, we've made it through the arrest and the fake trials and the betrayals and the beatings and the mocking, the scourging with the whip, the crown of thorns and being nailed to the cross. You know, he's been through it all. He's drunk the cup of wrath for sin from God that we all deserved. That cup that he drank that we couldn't. He drank it all, and all the while doing it out of love for you and me. And those important words, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished." Doesn't mean he just died. He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." "It is finished" is what we can say in English. The Greek word, and you all may know, is tetelestai. Tetelestai. Which Jesus used, and it means so much more than we attribute to it. It's used in a business sense. That a receipt was given for a debt that had been paid in full. So, you're in debt, you've paid it off, you owe no more, it's paid in full. It is finished. It's also used in a legal sense. That someone who had did a crime, been convicted, that they had fully served out their sentence. That they owed no more time. All their time had been fulfilled. So again, it is finished. That sentence had been served. And it was also a military sense, and that victory in a battle had been won. Again, the battle's won. It is finished. You know, when Jesus said it is finished, he affirmed that the debt of sin had been fully paid. That the judgment of sin had been fully served. and that the victory had been won in the battle against Satan and sin and death. It is finished and all done for you and me. It is finished means a lot, the way Jesus used it. Covered all the bases for us. He did in 3 days what we couldn't do for ourselves. Because he's God. If we look at the tomb, we look at Matthew 28, 1 through 10. I'm going to go through many of the things we all know about. Usually talk about Easter, but this is the final. Matthew 28, 1 through 10 says, "After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" And there's slightly different versions in each of the Gospels. Sometimes it's the women that get there and a couple of disciples get there and go in and see he's not there. But the idea is Jesus is alive. Jesus is resurrected. And he's the first of many that will be resurrected for those who believe in him. Now, as the earthquake and the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies was torn top to bottom, you know, we know about these things. But as that curtain was torn, the way to God was opened. You know, what was closed and separated us from God's now wide open. We have direct access to God. You know, the stone was rolled away. But it wasn't for Jesus to get out. It was for us to get in. The women were wondering how they were going to get in with the stone in the way. But it wasn't there. It was moved. Access was given. But it was to allow them in, not to let him out. To let us see that he has been risen. And Jesus is still opening doors too. He's opening doors for those who want to come and see. To come and see what Jesus has done, what he's doing. The door is open. Ask, seek, and knock. It says the door will be open. Jesus is right there. And Jesus wants you to come in and belong to the family of God, to be a child of God for eternity. Because the debt, the sentence, and victory has been paid, fulfilled, and won by Jesus. Just picture the devil there thinking he won. You know, in Gethsemane, I think he was thinking he won. You know, Jesus praying, is there another way? The devil thinking, I got him now. He wants out. He didn't want out. He would have liked another way. He was human, but he was God too. And God said that was the only way. So he said, let's do it. Let's do it. And he did it until it was finished. Some people talk about the gospel and how to present it. And I heard a story, and maybe you've heard it too, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So, gospel, you know, in a far off country, kind of a far off land, They had a king, and he was simultaneously the most loving king and the most just king. He loved greatly while treating everyone equally by the law, treated everyone fairly. Well, it came to be that someone was stealing from the treasury. And after not catching them, the king decreed that due to the breaking of the law, there would be a penalty. And that penalty would be 10 lashes to be given to that person in front of the entire kingdom. Well, the thefts continued, and the king finally gave a final decree. And this time it was for 40 lashes. Well, 40 lashes was a death sentence. People didn't survive 40 lashes. So a lot of times you notice they went 39 because the 40th one they thought would kill everybody. So that's what he decreed, 40 lashes, the death penalty. Time went by and it was soon discovered who was doing the stealing. And it was discovered that the daughter of the king was the one stealing from the treasury. Of course, now the people had questions. What's he going to do? It's his daughter. You know, they asked, you know, how could the most loving king who ever existed kill his own daughter? Some people thought he would pardon her, but then how would he be the most just king? Some people thought he would punish her, but then how would he be loving? The king examined it and looked at things and determined that it was clear what had to be done. The law had been broken. Sin had taken place. Justice must take place as well. And the sentence must be passed on. So the king's daughter was brought in front of the kingdom, laid over a table and tied to the executioner's table. The executioner ripped open the back of her shirt and stepped back. Just as the executioner lifted the whip to give the first lash, the king stood up from his throne and yelled, "Stop!" Well, everyone was in dismay, wondering what was he doing. The king then walked forward, and he bent over his daughter, and he wrapped his body around his daughter, and he ripped off his own shirt. And he looked back at the executioner and said, "Now hit her." The executioner objected. Says, "But sir, I can't hit her without hitting you." And the king again said, "Now hit her." Forty lashes fell on the back of the king who was over his daughter. And the king died and the daughter went free. Now, that's what Jesus did for you. Because God is just, punishment for sin had to be paid. But because he's a loving God, chose to make the payment himself. That's what Jesus did for you and for me. It is finished, covered. And today we celebrate a risen King, a King alive today so that we too can live eternally with him who paid the price, who only a God, our God, could pay the price. And a sin that was eternal could overcome that. And he did it in 3 days. And he did it for us because he gave himself. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. And then we're going to have communion as well afterwards. I want to finish with 1 Peter chapter 1. verses 3 through 5. First Peter 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already to be revealed in the last time. Now, through the resurrection of Christ, you know, we have a new birth in Jesus. But believers have a new birth. They have a changed life. Life with resurrection power right now. You don't have to wait completely for it. You get it now. He gives you his power. He gives you the Holy Spirit. It comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's a guaranteed eternal inheritance as a child of God. That's what he's offering. That's what he paid for, so you could be with him. You could have that. You can have it today. You know, he says, come as you are, but expect to be changed. Expect to be made new. Expect the Holy Spirit to change you as he dwells inside you. Your outlook will change. Your thoughts will change as he changes you to be more like him. So we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and you know, we call it the altar, but you can come up in your seat, wherever you prefer to do it. But if you don't know him, please find him today. Come and see. Come and see what Jesus did. Just ask him into your life. If you haven't been as close, maybe you've been away, maybe you seem to wandering, maybe feel like you're in the desert a little bit, seek him today for that. He's there. He's not gone. He didn't move. He's there for you today. Seek him. Remember what he did for you today. And that he overcame those things for you and me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is great. Your word is powerful. Your word is true. You told us all through the Bible what you were going to do. And we celebrate what you did today. You did it. It is finished. You did what you came to do. You did it out of love. You didn't come into the world to condemn, but you came into the world to save us from condemnation. Lord, we're so grateful that of your grace and your mercy and the opportunity to come to you and have eternal life. And to have forgiveness through your grace. Father, I ask that those who, if they don't know or feel far away or feel like it's quiet, Lord, that they would seek you today. They would listen for your voice, but ask, seek, and knock and see what you have for them. Lord, we pray for each one, Lord, that you would touch them in just the way they need. Maybe not the way they want, but the way they need. Thank you. We give you the praise. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.